Okay, Nulhans and Kolo, Kachodesh, Nulhans and Kolo, Shir given by Gershon Hepner on Tehillim, chapter 10, Vav. And we're up, this is part 4, and we're up to Pasuk Dalad. And the Shir has been given on the 18th of October 2009, and it's first day Rish Chodesh Cheshvan, so it must, Tovshin Ayin, so it must be the 30th of Tishri today, Tovshin Ayin. Good. Okay, so we're learning the chapter discusses the terrific midas a person should have, to how to be the perfect Jew, basically how to be a super Jew in a few easy stages or difficult stages. Yeah. Okay. So Pasuk Dalet Nivze Be'Einov. Excuse me. Nivze, the one who is despised, Be'Einov Nimos, is despised in his eyes. That is, a person who's a bad person should be despised in the eyes of a good person. The Esire Hashem Yechabed, and he will honor those who fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nishba Lohara, he swears to do evil. Velo Yomir, and he does not swap, or he doesn't exchange. So what on earth are we talking about? So in short, we're saying Nivze, the tzaddik, who sees a wicked person who is Nivze, recognizes the Rasha as a Rasha, and he's not taken in, and he doesn't treat the Rasha with flattery. It's chapter 15, Tesvav, Pasuk Dalet. The Nivze, the one who's despised, that's the person who really is a Rasha, Be'inov Nimos, in his eyes, that's in the eyes of the tzaddik, Nimos, he's despised. He's not treated well. Don't be taken in by a Rasha. Yeah, he might be a very, he might appear to be good, but if he's a Rasha, then the tzaddik should despise him. Vesire Hashem Yechabed, and he will honor those who fear God. Nishba Lohara, he swears to do evil. What's all that about? Swearing to do evil does not sound like an act of a tzaddik. So the Mefarshim explain, we're talking about someone who takes a shvua upon himself to do something to hurt himself or to harm himself in order to climb in Madrega. And we'll see it in a bit more detail, but a simple example will be someone who takes upon himself to fast. Oh, exactly, a fast. V'loyomir, and he won't exchange it. He won't swap it for anything. Once he's done taking such a shvua, he'll stick to it 100%. Okay, so the first thing to look at, Nivze Be'inov Nimos. Now, when I first saw this passage, the word Nivze means a person who's despised, and the word Nimos means a person who's despised. So they both have almost the same meaning. So it's a bit confusing. How to read the passage? I really wasn't sure. Do you read the passage Nivze, the one who is despised? Be'inov Nimos, he's despised in his eyes.
With his own eyes.
Yeah, that is the tzaddik.
Yeah.
We're talking only about tzaddik here. The tzaddik despises the one who really is a bad guy.
Right.
So the bad guy is described as Nivze.
Yes.
He's despised. Mm. And so the Inom Nimos, in the eyes of the tzaddik despises such a person. Not because he's not taking the mind.
Yeah.
Or, I wasn't sure, or do you read it? Nivze Be'inov, the one who is despised in his eyes, Nimos, should be despised. It's almost the same. I really wasn't sure, and Rashi is very clear about it. Rashi says you understand the pasuk. Misha, quoting here from the Rashi, Misha who lives there, Barish also, the one who is despised due to his wickedness, Nimos Be'inov Shel Tzadik, is despised in the eyes of the tzaddik. Yeah. So it's Nivze, comma, Be'inov Nimos, the one who's despised. That's the Rasha, Be'inov Nimos, in the eyes of the tzaddik, Nimos, he's despised. Oh, you could do it another word. It's like, you've got an English word.
Vile.
Oh, brilliant. Thank you very much. So let's translate it like that. Thank you. That's a good one. Nivze, the one who is vile, that's the Rasha, Be'inov Nimos, in the eyes of the tzaddik, he is despised.
Are we talking about a Russian? Is it a Jew or
non-Jew? Could well be a Jew. No, even a Jew.
Aren't you supposed to despise his acts rather than the person?
Hmm. Don't know the answer. Maybe.
About unloading a donkey. If you see someone with a donkey that has got trouble, he has to load it to unload it. So the Gemara speaks of, Gemara says that you have to do that even if you hate the person. So who are you going to hate? You're not allowed to hate anyone. The Gemara says, even talking about the Jewish Russia, that you still have to load it to unload it.
I hasten to add that the Gemara Yisrael says, remember Yakuchai? Yeah? The Gemara Yakuchai said was formed a major part of Yakuchai's Bar Mitzvah Joshua, the bit that he did not say. Yakuchai's Bar Mitzvah Joshua was about five times as long as it could possibly be for public presentation. And that was part of the full fifth.
Can I ask you, how do we define a Jewish Russia?
How do you define a Jewish Russia?
Just say you're Russian, you Jewish man.
Oh gosh, I don't know. I don't know.
What makes a Russian term say Russia?
What do you have to do to be classified as a Russian? I don't know.
That's one
of the examples. Some of the
tax collector.
Yeah, because they were crooked. In those days they were crooked. Now it's got a camera here now, man. Now, interesting, when I was puzzling over how to phrase the pasuk, nivzer, is it nivzer be'enov nimos, or is it nivzer be'enov nimos? And then I saw the Rashi, and Rashi clearly gives it as nivzer, the one who is vile, the enov nimos, is despised in his eyes. And then I took another closer look at my sefer here, and in this sefer, the one I'm using here, and there's the same edition there and there, there is a pasuk after the word nivzer, a vertical line, that gives you the phrasing, nivzer, comma, the pasuk, that vertical line, it serves as a comma, the one who is vile, the enov nimos. However, In the Tehillim here from Rav Shimshon Fal Hirsch, he puts the psik in another place. Amazing. He groups the word Nivzeh Ve'enov together. Nivzeh Ve'enov, psik. He's got actually like a different, he's got the psik in a different place. Nivzeh Ve'enov, psik, nimos. It comes to almost the same thing. There's just interesting slight difference there between the two versions of the pasuk. Okay. Now, Rashi, oh yeah, I wrote the English here. I wrote down English. Nivzer is the base person. Thank you. Okay. Now, Rashi gives an example. Rashi says we've got this person who's Nivzer, the one who is base or vile, is despised in the eyes of the tzaddik. For example, the father of Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda, whose name was Ochoz. And Rashi quotes the Mishnah in Pesachim, it's Perek Dalet Mishnah Tess, saying that one of the things that Chizkiyahu HaMelech did, because Chizkiyahu was a great tzaddik, his father was Ochoz, who was a great Rasha, his father was Yosom, who was a great tzaddik, and Chizkiyahu's son was Menashe, who was a great Rasha. So you've actually got Yosom, a tzaddik, followed by Ochoz, the Rasha, followed by Chizkiyahu, the Tzaddik, followed by Menashe, the Rasha. Amazing swings in the Malchus of Yehuda, from Tzaddik to Rasha, father to son. Now, when Ochoz died, Chizkiyahu, the Mishnah here tells us, it's Pesachim Perek Tes Mishnah, Perek Dalad Mishnah Tes, Geirer Atzmos Ovid al Mitro Shel Chavolim. When it came to burying his father Ochoz, he gave him a very despised or a very low quality burial. And he dragged the body of his father Ochoz. He dragged his father's body through the streets on a Mitro Shel Chavolim. That means like a very makeshift kind of stretcher, made out of ropes. Vehudulo, and the Chachamim gave him a thumbs up for that. They approved of it. Why did he do this? He did it for two reasons. Rashi explains, he did it for a couple of reasons. One was in order to make a public display that his father was a Rasha. His father really was a bad man. He served Avodah Zarah, he introduced a lot of immorality, arayos, he prevented the Avodah taking place in the Beit HaMikdash. He was generally a bad man. According to the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph, Rabbi Yimya Bar Abba says the only thing that saved Achaz from the only thing that granted him his chedek in Gan Eden was the fact that his father was a tzaddik, Yosam, and his son Chizkiyahu was a tzaddik. Otherwise, he would have been denied Olam Haba completely. Even though he was a bad man, Achaz was a bad man. So his son Chizkiyahu, great tzaddik, made this public display of insulting the father in order to teach everybody they should know that what his father had done was all wrong, and Chizkiyahu was now going to try and reverse the situation in Eretz Yisrael to much better conditions, which he did. And the second reason I did it was to give his father, to help his father's kapora. He gave his father public insults in this manner in order that the father should attain some form of kapora as a result.
About
honoring one's parents. So the Mefarshim say on this that it didn't count in this case because there's a pasuk in Mishpatim for Nasiva Amcha Lo Sa'ar. I think I've got the pasuk right. I might be a bit wrong. For Nasiva Amcha Lo Sa'ar, don't curse the Nasi in your people. And Chazal explained that word. What do you mean among your people? What's it teaching us? So the Chazal explained, but Osei Maase Amcha. You are only chayav to respect them if they are b'amcha, if they are at one with the people, are you doing what the people are meant to be doing? But Osei Maase Amcha. If you behave like a yid, then kovod is due. But without behaving as a yid, then kovod is not due. And that's why Chizkiyahu did this. So of course, he needed the approval of the Chacham. The Chachamim approves of it. Good.
Did you have the corpse?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
It was a normal pagan thing to do. When one king would come from another, they drank the next king of the Saronas used to describe this.
Yeah. Oh. The Mitzvah David explains this idea of Mitzvah Ein of Mimos is that the person doesn't fall into the trap, the tzaddik does not fall into the trap of flattering someone who's a Rosha. Yeah, that's it, doesn't it? It's easy to flatter a Rosha, you know,
spend on
finances and politics, etc., etc. So Nivza, the one who is vile or base, is the Ein of Nivza, is the Ein of Mimos, the tzaddik really does despise him.
So if it's royalty, then you have to give them respect.
Yeah, we should respect the royalty. Yeah, yes, that's true. Yeah, it is, yeah. Oh, can you say that again? I wasn't on the recording. I probably didn't come out.
This is royalty. You should give respect even to the Rishayim, as Moshe Rabbeinu gave to Pharaoh.
Yeah.
So
that's a bit of the kasha. Yeah, I don't know the answer. Yeah. Don't know. Okay. Ibn Ezra has a totally different pshat. Ibn Ezra and the Radak as well have a different pshat on this Nivzeh Ein of Mimos. It says the Ibn Ezra, Nivzeh the Ein of Mimos is referring to the tzaddik's view of himself. That is, he's done mitzvahs, but in his own eyes, the Ein of Mimos is dawnish, I haven't done anything, I haven't achieved anything. Because the more he learns, the more he realizes he ought to be learning, or the more he realizes that there is for him to learn. And this is the standard madriga of the tzaddik who really doesn't see himself as a tzaddik and can't understand what all the fuss about him is, and he really views himself as, he sees his own shortcomings more than someone else. That's Nizib Ein of
Mimos.
Yeah, they think nothing of themselves. Genuinely, yeah, absolutely, yeah. Josie, my brother-in-law, who married Leah, Josie said to me once that he once saw the Manchester Rosh Hashiva, the friend of the Bracha, at a public event, and he walked into the public event, and everybody stood up, and they were singing something, Sushan Rashaykh, or something along those lines to greet him and to be Mahabad him. And as he walks past Josie, Josie overheard him saying to himself, "They mean nicht mir. They don't mean me." He was talking himself into it, or maybe he really, really believed it. But the tzaddik really sees his own shortcomings more than anyone else. That's Nivzeh Ein of Mimos, and this is how the Ibn Ezra learns the pshat. It reminds me of a couple of things. It reminds me of the pasuk in Kehelet. It's chapter hey pasuk test. Oh, his kesef lo yispa kesef. The one who loves money will never be satisfied with money. Well, we know that to be true about a person who has agreed for money. But Rashi on that pasuk says, oh, his mitzvos lo yispa mehem. The one who loves mitzvahs won't be satisfied with the mitzvahs that he's done. He'll realize he loves doing mitzvahs, so he's a real tzaddik. He realizes how much more there is incumbent upon him to do. Also, similarly, it reminds me also of of the Igeret Haramban, where the Igeret Haramban says, every other person should be great in your eyes. View everyone else as greater than yourself. If a person is wise, if someone else is wise or wealthy, you've got to honor him. And if he's poor, and you are wealthier or cleverer than he is, then consider in your heart that you are more chayav than he is. You are cleverer than he is, well, therefore, more demands are made of you by our Kodesh Baruch Hu. And he's more innocent than you. Why? If he, the other person, sins, well, he's doing so with shogeg, because you know more than he does. The atovit, if you sin, mazid, you're doing it mazid. And this is the idea that the tzaddik really sees his own shortcomings more than anyone else. That's nivzeh be'in of nimos. That's how the Radak and the Ibn Ezra learn the pshat in the pasuk. Likewise, you've got a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Im Lomad Tzal Torah Harbe, if you've learned a lot of Torah, Al Tachzik Tovo La'atzvacha, don't give yourself a pat on the back. Why not? Kilechach Netzal Torah, says that's why you've been created. So, Nivzeh Be'in of Nimos, the tzaddik doesn't see himself as being anything great in what he's achieved and what he's done. And this also reminds me of a beautiful thought which I heard many years ago when I was a lad in Yeshiva in Gateshead from Rabbi Zil Rosenbaum, and he's printed it in his Sefer Al HaTorah, Zichron Moshe Al HaTorah, a beautiful pshat, and he quotes it in the Sefer, he thinks he heard it from the Griz, but in my own notes I wrote it he said it in the name of Reb Moshe Feinstein. Anyway, the beautiful thought on the Akedah, a couple of weeks to Wilin Vayira, in the Akedah, where you have in Posuk Vov, so it's chapter Kafbeis, Posuk Vov, the Posuk says, Vayochu Shnem Yachdov, Avram Yitzchak went together. Now in that pasuk, Rashi explains the chiddush is, what do you mean they were together? That Avram and Yitzchak were as one mind, they were together. What is the pshat in that? So Rashi says the chiddush is in Avraham. At that stage in the story, Yitzchak didn't know that he was due to become a korban. So therefore, Yitzchak went absolutely willingly. Avraham knew jolly well that he had been commanded to kill Yitzchak, and despite that he still went with the same willingness and keenness that Yitzchak went. But Yitzchak was going in ignorance of the fact that he was going to become a korban. I know there's some shots who say that Avraham knew he wasn't going to have to shecht him.
He believed he was commanded to kill him.
Yeah, but Halei Shom La'ola, says he brought him up, now take him down again. Yeah, that's right. So, but at that stage, Avram still believed he would have to shecht Yitzchak, and despite that, he was yachdov, he was together with Yitzchak, and was as one mind with Yitzchak. Why? That Yitzchak didn't know he would have to be shechted, and therefore he was very keen. So Avram likewise was very keen. Later on, Tzavim took him later, it's in Pasuk Ches, we have the same Lashon, Vayochushnem Yachdov, the two of them went together. Says Rashi, in this Pasuk, the Chiddush is now in Yitzchak. That despite the fact that he now knew he would be shechted, nevertheless, he was as keen on the project as Avraham.
That's
the
Hashem's command.
Yeah, that's right. Now the parasha finishes off, then that's the end of that's Rashi. Right at the end of the parasha, Vayashav and Pasuk 19, your test, Vayashav Avram El Ma'arov. Avram came back to his lads, that was Eliezer and Yishmol, whom he blessed at the foot of the hill. Vayokumim they arose, Vayashav Yachdom El Be'eshava, and they went together to Be'esheva. So they went together. So Rabbi Zur Rosenbaum points out, and quoting others, that what's the pshat here? Vayelchu yachdav, they went together. So on this day here, the chiddush is in Avraham again. Why? That he was now yachdav together with Yishmael and Eliezer. Yishmael and Eliezer had no idea what had gone on at the top of the hill. They didn't have a clue. Then Avraham had said to them, you know, we're just going up to the top of the hill, and we're just going to daven a bit up there, and we'll be back soon. Yeah? So he comes back, and what does he tell Yishmael and Eliezer about what had gone on? Nothing. So he didn't know. So Avraham and Yitzchak had just performed the greatest mitzvah probably in the history of mankind. So we found out the Medrash says that the Sotan came to tell her. Yeah. So, but Eliezer and Yishmael didn't have a clue. So they thought nothing of it. Avraham is in a similar frame of mind. Despite having done a tremendous mitzvah, he didn't think anything of it. He was yachdov together with Eliezer and Yishmael. Do you remember? I must have told this before. He was yachdov together with Eliezer and Yishmael. They didn't think anything of the event because they didn't know what had happened. Avraham knew what had happened, but he also didn't think anything of it. So this is the pshat. Nivzeh be'inov nimos. The great, great tzaddik doesn't think anything about what he's done, or he doesn't think greatly of the madrigas that he's attained.
Yitzchak was with him also at the end.
No, Yitzchak went on after that to the yeshiva of Shem and Eliezer. Yes. He went off there. That's it. Pardon?
Is that
how
it was known of? That you thought was at the yeshiva of Shem and Eliezer?
I think Rashi brings it, but I can't remember exactly.
Otherwise, it wouldn't have been known until Har Sinai.
We wouldn't know the story unless HaKadosh Baruch Hu recorded it in the Torah.
That's when we know it.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, Avraham didn't go around bragging about it. Yeah.
Yitzchak wouldn't have done.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So maybe we only learn it from the Torah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, that's news a bit in of Nimas. Yeah. Okay. Let's move on. You might be
saying, just say, couldn't you mean also, if he's despised in his own eyes for Russia, then other people would despise him too? Couldn't mean that. That Enov.
In his own eyes. What, the Russia? No, that's not given. I haven't seen that chat. The chat is that the tzaddik is despised by himself in his own eyes.
Right.
That's how the Ibn Ezra and the Adak learn. The Rashi learns it's the tzaddik despising the Russia. Yeah. Okay, let's move on. Now this interesting lashon of nishba lahora, ve'esirei Hashem yechabed. We'll come back to that. Nishba lahora, he swears to do evil. And Rashi explains we're talking about someone who takes a shavua upon himself to harm himself, e.g. a tarnis, or to give tzedakah money, that kind of thing. He's taking a shavua which looks as though it's going to harm himself. He's going to, it's a personal expense here. Yomir, and he won't swap it, he doesn't exchange that shavuah. So just interesting is that in the Targum he adds in one word that makes the prophet clear. From the Loshen, Nishba Lahora, it's not clear what it means. He swears to do evil. Well, that doesn't sound like a description of a tzaddik. So we need the Rashi to explain it. It means he takes a shavuah upon himself to do something which looks as though it's harming himself. The Targum makes it much clearer. The Targum's Loshen is the Yomei Le'av Osha Le'garmei. He takes the Shavua. The Yomei is a Shavua. Le'av Osha is Bish, to do bad to himself. To do bad. Le'garmei, to himself. So the Targum adds in that word Le'garmei. And that throws light on the whole phrase. He's saying it Le'garmei, to himself. That's how the Targum's thing. Okay. Good.
What's
he
doing?
Which hate?
Lahora.
Lahora. What's your question? I want to hear your question clearly.
I would have thought that he would have said Nishba Lora.
Norman, you got a response to Kiddush this Shabbos. You just asked the Kasha of Rav Shmuel Falhash. Okay, so we're all coming round.
Yeah, there's a question.
24, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10. We're all coming out. Rav Shmuel Falhash says this. So I'll answer, I was going to deal with it later, clear it straight away. Says Rav Shmuel Falhash that at first sight, the word lahara is a verb. Okay? And most Mepharshim learn it's a verb, lahora, to do evil. And with that understanding, the hay makes good sense. Because the hay is the hay of the hisil, to cause to do bad. So nishbal hora, he takes the shvur, to cause to do bad. Yeah? So Zipshim Shampon Hash, I've got a big problem with that. So Zipshim Shampon Hash, if it means that he's taking a shavua to do bad to himself, which is what we said all along, to undertake a tarnis or a tzedakah or something like that, he says, then that would be a mitzvah bin odam lamokum. However, says Rosh Hashanah Hirsch, I don't like that pshat. Why? Because before it comes the phrase, v'esirei Hashem yechabed, he's going to honour those who fear God, which is clearly bin odam lachaveru. He's honouring another human being. It's followed in Pasuk Hey by Kasper Lenosem Meneshech V'Shechadanoki Lelokach, that a person is not charging any interest. And that's Ben Adam Nachaviru. Says Rosh Hashanah Hirsch, if Nishba Lahara means he swears to do evil to himself, to undertake a tannis or to give tzedakah, and therefore the hay is the hay of the hisil, then it really is a bit difficult, because before it comes Ben Mitzvah Ben Adam Lachaviru, after it comes Mitzvah Ben Adam Lachaviru, yet Nishbal Ara here would be a Mitzvah Ben Adam Lamokim. Says Rosh Hashanah Hirsch with a huge chiddush that the word Lahara is not a verb. And this is what you're saying. He says, you know what it is? It's a noun. He swears to evil. And the word Lahara means to the evil. La ha ra, to the evil. Yes. And says Rosh Hashanah Hirsch, the pshat in the pasuk is, he swears to evil, and I'm going to say straight away, I don't fully understand this, he swears to evil, and what's the shvur? Says Rosh Hashanah Hirsch, the shvur is the rest of the pasuk. He swears that he's going to despise a rasha, and that he's going to honour those who fear God. So it's not a separate shvur, he undertakes to take a tarnis or to give tzedakah money. It's the shvur is the content of this pasuk. The nisav in of nimas the esiri Hashem yichabed. That is the content of his shvur. Okay. Now we're still left with your kasha, Norman, which Rosh Hashanah Hirsch asks. Why is it le hora? Normally, if there's a lamed. Normally, with a lamed with a hey hayadia would be laha, would be combined into just law. Nishba lora. He swore to the evil. Why is it lahora? Says Rosh Hashanah Hirsch, he says there are examples, although they are so few and far between, there are examples of this. And he quotes a prosek in Divrei Hayomim based, and it's chapter Yud Prosek Zayin, where the pasuk there is telling over the story of what happened when Rechavam consulted the Zakenim, Rechavam the son of Shlomo consulted the Zakenim as to how he should behave towards the people, and they said to him, after Rechavam became king and he consulted the Zakenim, what should I do, how should I treat the people? The people requested that he shouldn't go heavy on them on taxation. And the Zakenim answered Rechavam, yeah, dude, listen to the people, go easy on them. And the pasuk reads, it's Divrei Hayomim base, and it's chapter Yud, and it's pasuk Zayin. Vayidaber elav lemer. They spoke to him. The Zakenim spoke to Rechavam, saying, "Imtihiyeh letov, if you are good, le ha om hazeh, to this people." If you're good to them, or at Sistom, and you pacify them with the Barat Aleim, the Barat, you speak to them well, then they'll be servants to you forever. Be good to the people, be go easy on the people. But the key words that we want here is Imtihi Eletov, La Ha Om Hazeh, to this people. Says the Shem Shantal Hirsch, it's strange. It would not normally be La Ha Om. Normally the Lamed with a Hey Hayidio, the Hey of the Definite Hakko, would be swallowed up together and become La Om Hazeh, not La Ha Om. Says the Shem Shantal Hirsch, as you said, Norman.
To this particular
people's manager. He doesn't say that. All he says is it is a strange form, le ha'om, and le ha'ra, if the word ra is, as Rosh Hashanah Hirsch says, it's a noun and not a verb. is strange. But at least he says we have precedent for this. And he quotes actually, I think, two or three psukim where you have this. I've only taken one of them. Le ha om instead of la'om. So it's interesting. So most of the Mefarshim say that this word in our pasuk, le hora, is a verb. In which case, the hay is the hay of the hifdil. No, it's a noun, and the hay is the hay hayidia, and it's unusual to have it le horan. It would normally be combined into lara, but you find other cases.
It might be
defined in a particular section. Maybe defined in a particular section. Section of the beast. Yes.
Could be.
Hard to know.
I don't understand. What does it mean, swearing to evil?
Yeah, yeah. I'm not sure myself. He does say it. I didn't really understand it. Rosh Chodesh does explain it. Swearing to evil that I'm going to be, that I'm going to despise Rishoyim and I'm going to honour those who fear Hashem. With me swearing to evil, I'm not
sure.
It's
not evil, it's the opposite.
Yeah, exactly. Of evil. Yeah. So with me swearing to evil, I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't know. Could be, yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
He does explain the term. Yeah, he does explain.
It's evil, because it's the opposite.
Yeah. Okay. Where are we up to? That's the... Right, who's in here? The Malbim on our pasuk says that the tzaddik is not affected by anybody. He's the tzaddik, irrespective of what's going on around him, he remains the tzaddik. He's the tzaddik through and through. And he learns it from our pasuk, how the previous pasuk is a cherpalo nosar karozo, that he's not affected by his relatives who might be bad people. He's not affected by them. Nor is it so that he's not affected by the people around him. Nor is he affected by... Sorry, I didn't make that clear. That was a quote from Pasuk Gimel, right? The Cherpalo Nosar Karozo, he's not affected by his relatives who might not be good people. Nor is he affected by himself. Nivzeh Be'enov Nimos. That he sees himself, he sees his own shortcomings, he's not affected by himself. Nor is he affected nishba lahara v'lo yomeh, and he swears that he's going to put himself to rights by, isn't necessary, with self-deprivation v'lo yomeh, he won't swap that for anything. Nor is he affected in pasuk hey by his money kasto l'nosam neshech. So the Malbim says this tzaddik is a tzaddik through and through, not affected by people around him, not affected by himself, and nor is he affected by his possessions. That's how the Malbim knows pshat. Yeah. Good. Now the Al Sheikh says, what's the idea of Nishba Lahora Vilo Yomi? He takes a shvua to a self declaration, Vilo Yomi, he won't swap it. He says, let's say a person undertakes a Tanis today, he won't change his mind and say, you know what, I won't fast today, I'll fast tomorrow instead. Vilo Yomi, if he says to himself, he takes a shvua, he's going to fast today, he jolly well keeps to that.
According to
the Chimshon's
well,
yeah.
Surely the accent would be
Lahara.
Is it Lahara or
Lahara? No, according to both. Whether it's a verb or a noun, the accent would be on the ratio. Yeah. Phew. Oh, God, that one. Yeah, no, the accent would be on the ratio. Either way. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Masadav Kuk Chumis to him quotes a pasuk in what's his idea of Nishma Lahara, and he quotes the pasuk is in Vayikra chapter 8 pasuk Dalet, where the pasuk speaks about a person who undertakes a shavua which he then breaks. Says the pasuk, a nefesh kisa shaval abatidis v'fasayim, a person who swears, he verbalizes a shavua lahara o lehitiv, either to do bad or to do good. And the prophet goes on to say he's got to keep the shur, and if he breaks the shur, he's got to bring a korban. So Rashi explains, what does this mean, lahara o lehitiv? So Rashi explains, lahara la'atzmo o lehitiv la'atzmo, either to do self-deprivation or lehitiv la'atzmo, to do something good to himself. Kigon, ochal, I will eat something. He takes a shavua to eat something, that's lehetiv, he's going to have some benefit. Oh, for Lolo Chalo, he takes a shrei, he's not going to eat anything. That's Lahara. So that's a clear explanation of how we get this, how we get it. Now, possibly Mishma Lahara means self-deprivation. Masad Rav Kook also says, what's this below Yomir? He won't exchange the Shavuot for anything. He says, a person undertakes the Tarnis, and then he says, you know what, I fancy eating something, you know what, I'll give Tzedakah instead. It's not right. He undertook a Tarnis, he'll jolly well keep to it. And the real Tzaddik will indeed keep to it. The Alkut Mam Lois says a beautiful pshat here. He says, if we can have a look at Nimtabin of Nimos, he takes the pshat of the Ibn Ezra and the Radak, Nimtabin of Nimos, the true tzaddik sees his own shortcomings. As we said, that's from the Ibn Ezra's pshat. Says the Alkut Mam Lois, a person who sees his own shortcomings could do so for one of two reasons. Either because he's a great tzaddik and sees what he himself has done wrong and sees what he could do, how he could do a lot more than he really is doing, or an alternative reason why a person might see his own shortcomings is he's suffering from a depression. A person who's suffering from depression will constantly put himself down and see himself as a no good guy. Says the Agamemnon, our pasuk is talking about a tzaddik. What in our pasuk tells us we're talking just about a tzaddik and not a depressant? The continuation. Yireh Hashem yechabed. He'll honor those who fear God. Now, someone who's suffering from depression won't lift himself out of that to go after somebody to yireh shamayim and be nice to him and give him covered. Yeah? Someone who's suffering from depression, he'll have a sour face to everybody. Himself and to the yireh shamayim. So he says, in case you think that Nivzeb Inov Nimos is a person suffering from a depression and that's why he doesn't see himself as anything good, the proof is no. We're talking about a real tzaddik who will honor a yireh shamayim, and therefore that shows us that when he feels bad about himself, it's only because he's a tzaddik and he sees his own shortcomings. That's how the Alkut Mam Lois explains it. Good. Okay. Norman, you want to finish at 10 o'clock? If we do about another 3 minutes, we'll finish off. Is that right? Yeah? Okay. The Gemara in Makkos explained, these Pesukim are talking about particular people. It's in Makkos and it's on Kaf Dalet Amud Aleph, which goes through this whole chapter. And the Pesuk says, Nitzavein of Nimos, the one who despises the who despises the Rasha, Zechizki Amelech. Rashi got it straight from the Gemara. Zechizki Amelech, Shegeirer, Atzmos of the Mitzvah Shechavolim, who dragged his father's body through the streets on ropes to despise him. Vesirei Hashem Yechabed, who's that? Ze Yehoshaphat Melech Yehuda. Yehoshaphat, who is a great tzaddik, son of Asaph, who is the son of Rehavam, who is the son of Shlomo, who is the son of David, who is the son of Yishai. Yeah, that's good. So Yehoshaphat, who was a great tzaddik, and he honored those who are Yirei Shemayim. Why? Shebeshaa shehoya roe tamad chacham. Whenever he saw tamad chacham, hoya omid mekiso, he arose from his throne, or machabko, and he would hug him, or manashko, and he would kiss him, bekorelo, and he would say to him, Avi, Avi, Rebbe, Rebbe, Muri, you're my father, you're my Rebbe, you're my teacher. He was machabe tamid chachamim. The point being that normally we have a halacha, melech shemachal al kavodo im kavodo machal. A king has no right to forego his own honor. And here's Yehoshaphat, he stands up for a tamid chacham, he gets up off his throne. Okay? And he's honoring a tamid chacham, and he's behaving like he's being machabe tamid chacham. He's the melech, the tamid chacham should be machabe him. So we're saying that he was so much in awe of tamid chachamim that he would stand up and give them such covet. The Rambam in Halacha, thank you. The Rambam in Halacha in Hilchos Malachim, and I mean, very good. But the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim, and I know this Rambam thanks to Rabbi Artscroll, who quotes the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim, this Perek Beis, and it's Halacha Hey, points out he should only do this, Yaseh Zeh Betzino, he should only do this in private. Is that what you just said? You knew that. He should only do this. It's very nice of the king to be Mechabit Tamid Chachomin, but he should only do so, but sinot in private. But in public, for the people, so that he shouldn't do it in public, he has to retain the dignity of a king. And that comes straight out of the Gemara, another Gemara about this, which is in Ksubas, that's Kuf Gimel Amud Beis. So very good that Yehoshaphat did this, but halachically it should only be done in private, the king. So that's the Vesir Hashem Yechabed. Then the Gemara goes on. What about Nishba L'Harav Eloyome? He undertakes a shvur and he won't exchange it. Says the Gemara, who is the prime example of this? Rabbi Yochanan. To Omer Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan said, Hey, but Tanis Adche Ovo Levesi. I undertake a Tanis until I arrive home. Now, the story behind this, there's a bit more behind this than meets the eye. The story behind this is brought in detail in Tanis, Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph. Rabbi Yochanan was invited to Seuda, and it seems it happened more than once, by Rabbi Gamliel, who is the Nasi. And Rabbi Yochanan didn't want to trouble Rabbi Gamliel to have to make a meal for him. So Rabbi Yochanan said to him, I'd love to come for lunch, thank you so much, but at the moment I'm in the middle of I've undertaken a tarnis until I arrive home, not to eat. So I'm sorry. He undertook such a tarnis merely purely and simply in order to not to trouble Rabbi Gamliel to make a seudah. So it's not a genuine shavuah. And Rabbi Yochanan was well within his halachic rights to break that time, to break that shavuah. Why? Because he only took that shavuah in order not to trouble Rabbi Gamliel. So someone else, on his way home, if he wanted to have something to eat, he was well within his halachic rights to eat, because it wasn't really a 100% shavuah. It was a shavuah only made in order not to trouble Rabbi Gamliel. But having undertaken such a shavuah, v'lo yomir, he wouldn't go back on that. He took a shavuah like that, he wouldn't go back on it, even though he was actually within his halachic rights to do so.
So then indeed he
would not eat Asha'ov until he was around there. Yes. Even though actually he could have done.
He could have done.
Nevertheless, he did. So that's it. It's all Lifnim Mishus Hadin. The whole chapter is all about Lifnim Mishus Hadin. Yeah? Good. Shkech. Alright, well, that's it for Prophet Dalid. Let me see how we do this.